We're really glad you joined us today if you're visiting. We had, I think, part one of a fantastic message yesterday from Pastor Stacy. She is very rich in her walk with God. You can tell she's not just bringing a message, it's her life. And I always love someone who preaches about the life as well as the word. She's word-filled and spirit-filled, but she's the real living epistle of someone God wants to repeat in all of our lives. There'll be an impartation of grace so that we can learn a lot more about Jesus through her and her walk and the message that God's put on her heart. So I'd like you to honor her and just welcome her to come and bring God's word to us. Thank you, Lord.
Pastor Judith. Oh, bless you all. Thank you so much. You can be seated. You guys have been so lovely, and I have just been really genuinely have enjoyed spending time with you guys in God's presence this weekend. And I feel honored. I really do. This is so refreshing to me. I was trying to tell Pastor Judith yesterday that this is really refreshing to come to different churches, to have the privilege of occasionally getting to visit other churches in the UK just to see what God is moving, what God is doing, and how he's moving. And I feel Joe and I, my husband and I, we feel privileged to have been called by God to come over to the UK to help all the laborers in this field bring a harvest for Jesus' glory. So God is doing something in the UK. And if you could help me, just raise your hand if you weren't here yesterday for my message. That way I know exactly just what little bits to kind of tie together. Okay, great. Well, yesterday I shared a lot just about our personal story and about the need for faith and endurance is what the author in Hebrews says. We need faith and endurance to really walk in everything that God has for us. And so I want to continue encouraging you with that. But I also want to, just if I can, commend you for your giving. That is incredible. And I love what Pastor Judith said, because Paul says the same thing when he's talking to, I can't remember the reference right now, if you'll forgive me, but he says, I think it's in Corinthians, to a church, he says, I don't want your money, I want you. And once you are fully given to God, I know I'll have your money too. And I just commend you for giving your lives to God. And I commend you for making all of your time, treasure, talents, resources available to the kingdom of God. So if I could just go on, I know I said this yesterday, but isn't it just mind-blowing that this temporary money right here, like when we get to heaven, everybody knows this don't work in heaven, and Jesus said, you don't get to take this with you to heaven. So when we get to heaven, it's like, this is useless. And this is what I was saying yesterday. This in heaven would be like Monopoly money here on earth. It don't get you anything. But yet, when God gives people an assignment on earth, he uses earthly resources to fund an eternal work. And this same money that's going to buy me a coffee and lunch can fuel a move of God on planet Earth. Talk about God's ways just blowing our minds. I just find the way God works so incredible that he would give us an opportunity to take temporal things, consecrate them to God, and get an eternal payback, an eternal reward. It's mind-blowing. So well done for sowing into a move of God. And this is what Jesus says and what the Bible teaches us about our temporary goods. Is our temporary goods, even our temporary suffering, can reap and will reap when given to God, when given over to God, when surrendered to God, when pain is surrendered and suffering surrendered and yielded to God, when finances and gifts and talents and abilities are yielded to God, all those temporary things will then reap an eternal reward. Eternal. Like, eternity is so hard to wrap your mind around, but think about this. In 1 billion years, you're still going to be reaping a reward for what you sowed in the offering that was temporary. In 10 zillion, trillion, billion, million years, you're still going to be reaping what you sowed into God's kingdom. You're still going to be reaping. And Paul says it this way. It's an eternal glory that far surpasses any bit of temporary sacrifice. God is so generous to us. Do you believe we get to actually work with God here on planet Earth? I mean, I don't know about your credentials and qualifications, but mine are pretty bleak. And the fact that we get to co-labor with a move of God, this is amazing. The fact that my flesh and bones and temporary self right here on planet Earth can be a part of an eternal purpose, an abundant eternal life. This is a privilege. This is not an obligation. We're not doing God a favor. He's not sitting up there thinking, oh, nobody's serving me in England. Christianity has declined. Church attendance is down. Offerings are down. And, oh, thank you. I was feeling really insecure about my godhood, and I needed you to come. That is not what is happening in heaven. In Isaiah, he is very clear. He is not insecure. He says, I am God and there is no other. And if you want to talk about idols, let's talk about idols compared to me. He knows who he is. And what he has done for us is grace and it's glory and it's mercy and it's a privilege. It is a privilege. It's a privilege that we get to be together in his presence. The fact that we can experience the presence of God, that is a privilege. That's not a bonus point for your Christian record. We've got to get this sense of obligation out of our walk with God. You have a choice. You've been invited. You have been invited. An invitation has been given to your life by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In his mercy, in his grace, he has extended an invitation to you to be a part of his kingdom, to extend his kingdom on planet Earth, and not just work for him and be a part of his army and do what God wants done to extend peace and joy and righteousness on planet Earth, but he, through Christ, has offered you an invitation for friendship with God. Friendship with God, relationship, real, genuine relationship with God. Don't you love just coming back to like really what it's all about? I just love, you know, when I start getting frazzled or a little bit anxious or worried or confused or feel like life is overly complicated, I just bring it back to the bare bone basic. And this is, I'm just going to dive into what I am going to be talking about. In Jesus' name, we're going to go on a journey this morning. But I want to first turn to Romans 5. And listen to this. In Romans 5, I read some of Romans 5 last night, or yesterday morning. But I just want to highlight verse 10, Romans 5, verse 10, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. This is a privilege. Christianity, it's not just a religion we tick on a box when we're filling out a government survey or something. This is a restored relationship with the source, the source of everything our heart really longs for. Restored with Jesus into this living, breathing relationship. And this friendship with God that we have is not for some spiritually elite preachers or ministers. This is friendship with God is extended. Purpose in God's kingdom is extended to every single person who believes in Jesus. And you can have just as rich and as fruitful of a relationship with God that Pastor Judith has and Pastor Andrew and all these people that you may look up to. That is still offered to you to have a real, intimate, fulfilling, life-giving relationship with God. It's for you. No one in this room is disqualified from really enjoying their relationship with God. You're meant to actually enjoy walking with God. The Apostle John says it in 1 John, his commands aren't burdensome. He came to give us life. Sometimes we think Christianity is like this challenge, and it is a challenge in the sense of nobody gets the promises in the kingdom of God without enduring some temporary suffering on earth. But it's also that pearl of great price. It's that going into this field and finding this something of such great treasure, such great value, that with joy you sell everything else, you cut off everything else to have this exceedingly great treasure in Christ, this exceedingly great joy in Christ. And I just declare over all of you, that you are going to walk into, like David said in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of my salvation. The joy of walking with God. The joy of serving Him. The privilege of being in His kingdom. We're going to replace in Jesus' name this sense of duty and obligation, although we are obligated and we do have a duty to God. But we are in this love relationship with Him. We have this friendship with Him. He wants us to experience that side of Him as well. So yesterday I was sharing just about my own personal journey and some of the amazing twists and turns that come. Basically just trying to fill that gap. How sometimes when we're young in the Lord or young in life, we kind of get this idea, perhaps, that when God gives somebody an assignment, when He gives them a purpose here on earth to help Him with His work, that it's like the red carpet is going to roll out for us. I mean, in my little teenage mind, I would think anybody chosen of God, with God's authority and power and blessing, that when they show up, it's like angels start singing and everything just starts to get like amazingly supernaturally easy, right? I mean, if God's on my side and God sent me on assignment, then sometimes, and don't ask where we get these ideas from. They're unbiblical, but yet sometimes they still work their way into our thinking. Or is that just me? Are all your ideas biblical? And maybe it's just me who I get some of these crazy notions and imaginations of what walking with God on earth should look like. And so it takes a bit of a revelation, a very necessary revelation, that although we are on assignment, that we're living here in enemy territory to impose God's kingdom and bring redemption to planet earth. So we are here, and we do have authority, and we do have assignments, and there is a crowd in heaven, a great cloud of witnesses who's applauding us. But here on planet Earth, we're living in a war zone. We are behind enemy lines. We are bringing the kingdom of God. We are bringing His righteousness, His peace, and His joy everywhere we go to the workplace, we're representing Christ. When we are misused, when we are abused, when we're in darkness and evil, we're there bringing the kingdom of God, representing what is Jesus like to the world? What's his rule like? What's it like when God's in charge? What's it like when his kingdom is the prevailing influence? So wherever we're at, we're doing that. But we're literally doing that in a whole area, in a zone where they don't want that. It's the God of this world, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he's blinded the minds of unbelievers so they can't see the glory of God. And we're walking into darkness and we're commanding that there's light in darkness. And so we're opposed by the enemy. And it's not because God isn't powerful. It's because we're part of his plan to redeem, making things right again, restoring things to his original intent, like in Eden. And these battles in this war zone, it's not like we're actually in combat at work. You know, we're not, it's not a physical battle that you can see. It's a spiritual battle. So it's impacting and influencing things like people's thoughts and feelings and emotions. You can sense sometimes the warfare in your home even, or in any area where you're bringing and wanting to establish God's rule and reign. It comes like heaviness or weariness or depression or torment or sickness or confusion. And that's the spiritual battle. It's thoughts flowing through people's minds of, there is no God. I don't need God. God's not for me. That's the spiritual battle. That's the God of this age who's blinding the eyes of the unbelievers. But then here we are, the light and the glory of God in these fragile clay pots, releasing the power of God. So we understand that everything that is of God and of his kingdom is opposed. And that's why when we come on the scene and we start representing Christ's righteousness and doing the right thing and bringing joy and bringing peace, that sometimes we get kickback. But we have to, with faith and endurance, continue the race of God. Jesus said, it is those who endure to the end who are saved. It is those who endure to the end. And the endurance is not just about you remaining in the love of God and letting your love for him be genuine. It's not just about your personal faith and belief in Jesus, although that will be tested. It's also about enduring in your purpose and assignment for God. You've got to have faith and you've got to have endurance. So you can live in the presence of God, walk in the presence of God, enjoy, in other words, really have a real relationship with God. But also so you can fulfill the purposes of God here on planet Earth. You're here as a believer for a purpose. I know I'm bringing this really down to 101. This is where I live in the world of simplicity and basics. But this is also what sustains me, because I find war zones very confusing. I need to know just what really matters. So why are you here? If it's just about you having a restored relationship with God, then why don't we just, excuse the drama, but what if God just shot people as soon as they became believers? Okay, you're saved now. You believe in Jesus. I'm going to take you up to heaven right away. If that was the point. I mean, what if that prevent so much heartache? If the goal is really just to get people to believe in Jesus and then just take them right up to heaven. But I really believe his will is for you to encounter God, to experience faith as early as you can. I mean, I was a child when I first believed. So then what's the rest of my existence about? It's not just to know Jesus personally, it's to make him known. To walk in purpose. So God has now sent us here on earth to really walk in purpose, to represent him. And there's a couple of, I feel like one of the real keys to endurance is that we really get a hold of this bigger picture for our lives. Because if we're disconnected from, I don't know about you, but when I lose sight of the big picture of what's really happening, I become dull and indifferent. You just watch Netflix all day and eat cake. It's like if I am disconnected from the big purpose of God, there's no oomph in me to endure with faith or do anything or go out and witness. Or it's just like, let's go shopping and go lay out by the beach all the time. Somebody asked me once, they're like, what would you do if you weren't a minister? And I was like, well, I love ministering. But if I wasn't, and maybe one day in heaven this will be the case, I would be independently wealthy and not have to work and sit by the pool. And this is what, everybody has this kind of like this earthly calling for normal that wrestles with our soul. It's like, let's just chill out and pretend like we are already in heaven and the battle's already won. And I'm just going to take a vacation every weekend and nothing is at stake. I'm a believer. I'm going to get to heaven. So let's just go shopping and lay at the beach. So what is going to help us really walk in purpose is when we really get tapped into the big picture of God's plan. Okay, so let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And one of the things that I love the life of Paul. Talk about endurance. And even Jesus. The whole idea that when you become a believer, your life is just going to start like getting easier. It will get easier in the sense that you now know the source for every problem. You now have access to every solution that you need. But it's about enforcing that. It's about releasing that. And Jesus sent the Son of God. When he came, there was no red carpet rolled out for him. He was rejected by the very people he came to save. That's tough. And then even the prophets, Ezekiel, Isaiah, God sent them on assignment and said, listen, I'm telling you to do this, but nobody's going to listen to you. And they're going to try to kill you. And some of them, they actually will kill you. I mean, assignments from God. It's like assignment from God. And it's like every equation, no matter who it is, there's this element of suffering, of testing, of sacrifice. And then they cross over into glory, and it's eternal reward. But no matter what your purpose or who you are, what your gifting is, where you work, what you do with your life, you're called to be a disciple of Christ, to take up your cross, to follow Jesus, and to be fruitful. You are called to be fruitful in God's kingdom. You're called to make an impact. You're called to have a difference, to make a difference, to make things right in this world. So let's look at Paul, because I'm going to just kind of paraphrase chapter 4. But basically, he's talking about his life of walking in God's purpose. We probably all would agree that the Apostle Paul fulfilled God's call on his life. We would probably agree that the Apostle Paul was very Spirit-led. And didn't walk according to the flesh, but walked according to the Spirit, that he was consecrated, that he was devoted to God. But yet he says in verse 8, we are pressed on every side by troubles. We are not crushed, though. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. We live in constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue. Say, we continue. We continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. See, Paul had this amazing perspective about his life. He wasn't in denial that he was pressed by troubles, that he's perplexed, that he's hunted down. But his, like Pastor Andy said over the weekend in Colossians 3 about be heavenly minded. Because he had a heavenly mindset, he could see he's perplexed, but he's not driven to despair. There was always that but statement after what Paul was saying about suffering to bring it back up to this eternal realm. And if you want to fulfill your life of purpose and live in the presence of God, you have to stay in touch with the eternal realm. Now, I know that sounds kind of like, for me, it could be sometimes abstract. So what do you actually do when you're working 9 to 5 and taking care of kids and changing diapers and doing life every day? How do you really stay in touch with this eternal realm? You just have to take time. Take time. This is what I do. Can I just give you my personal tip? I like to take time regularly, intentionally, to just imagine that moment when I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand before him. And it's just me and him. I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, he says, for we must all, so Paul is saying, so whether I live or whether I die, it's all to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil that we have done in this earthly body. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. So I'm going to stand before Jesus, the holy judge. And because he's taken my punishment, and because I'm saved by grace, I have a relationship with him. When I stand before him, the word for even that judgment of believers is really the way I have found it best explained, is almost like an Olympic rewards ceremony. You're standing there, you've run your race, you've done your bit, and now you're being awarded for what you have done. And it's amazing, sobering, like there will be awards and rewards, and we will stand and give an account for our life as believers. This is really clear in Matthew 25 when he's talking about the stewards and the talents. He does call to account what we've done with our life. But if we're in Christ, it's not this scary thing of punishment. It's this moment of justice and award for every sacrifice, for every yes, for every bit of obedience. He will reward us. And his reward is a real motivator. And this is over and over. Jesus even said, when you pray, when you fast, when you give, God sees and he rewards what's done in secret. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. And now he's sitting at the right hand of God. So you sometimes just have to consciously think. Every now and then you touch in with the reality. I'm going to stand before living God. And when he looks at me and my life is called to account, I'm not going to wish that I would have chilled out more on earth. I'm not going to stand before him. In that moment, I'm going to see him perfectly. The glory of God is going to be fully. I see in part now. I prophesy in part now. But when I stand before him, it's going to be 100% reality of how glorious he is. And in that moment that I stand before him, I don't think I'm going to wish I would have kept my mouth shut, would have took a little back seat more to my life. Oh, I'm not going to stand before him and think, man, I really wish I wouldn't have given that offering. You're going to have such a perfect understanding of how worthy he is. You will only wish you gave him more. You will only wish you have given him more. When you see Jesus with perfect clarity, how glorious, how loving, how perfect, how holy he is. and your eyes aren't dimmed by this earthly realm. You're going to have the full weight of that revelation of what King of Glory sacrificed to give you ability to live for the eternal, to give you power to live for the eternal, to give you talents and resources. And everything that he has entrusted to you while you were on earth will be laid bare, naked, exposed before you and before him. And in that moment, we will all be so overwhelmed that everybody who had that moment, like the Apostle John and Paul and even what Joe read in Ezekiel and Isaiah, they were so overwhelmed by the glory of God, they either thought they were dead or they couldn't even put into words the glory. It was so exceedingly beyond our imagination. And I feel like something that really hinders us walking in the ways of God, in the purpose of God, in the presence of God, is we think that God is just a little bit like a notch above where we're already at. We think God is glorious, so he's like maybe two notches above a human. We have so downplayed how glorious he is. How worthy he is. We have downplayed our sin. We have downplayed what it cost him to get us back. We have downplayed what he gave in the Holy Spirit. We have devalued the gifts that he put inside of us, the anointing that he has put inside of us, the assignment that he has given us. We have notched it all the way down here to insignificance. And then we've justified our laziness, our indifference, our lack of caring. We're going to have a rude awakening, or we can have a rude awakening now. I'd rather be rudely awakened now. And in fact, I often tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, don't give up on me. Get in my path, corner me. Don't be gentle with me, but give me what I need now. I'd rather have it now while I can fix things. Because once I cross over, I'm simply reaping everything that I have sown here on this time on planet Earth. I want to be rudely awakened now. Amen? So Paul says, Paul has endured all of this. And then he says, all of this is for your benefit. He said, God has given us this new way. He says, that's why we never give up. He's got this message of the glory of God. He's got this understanding that his life is meant to bring the gospel, to bring Christ to darkness, to places where people don't know him. And it's for the benefit of those around. He said in another part of this passage in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 4, that we are servants for your sake, for the glory of God. This is the thing that you've got to see about God. When we come close to God through faith and we begin to encounter God, when we're really walking closely with him, his passions and desires begin to rub off on us. You can see this in human relationships. I never drank coffee until I married Joe, and now I'm completely addicted. It's like other people's passions and what they like, oftentimes it's like contagious. I even shared about that when I was at the ramp in Hamilton and Pastor Karen was burning for youth ministry. And I was like, I don't even really want to, I am a youth. I don't care about youth ministry. And I run with her and then her passion gets contagious and it gets on me. When you are really walking in relationship with God, a real genuine two-way relationship with God, you begin to love what he loves and hate what he hates. And let me tell you what God is passionate about. God is passionate about his people. He is passionate about his children. In fact, I think one of the best ways to even frame this is if you're a parent and you have a child who is strayed. Maybe you are fallen out with relationship with your child, or your child is away from God. You're in a fortunate position because in many ways, you now have an insight into God's heart. When Pastor Karen's daughter, Lindsay, was away from the Lord for 2 years, Lindsay and I grew up together, and she just went like turned into another person. And during that 2 years, Pastor Karen was so fiercely focused on praying and fasting and getting Lindsay back to God. Everything in her world revolved around that. And if you were in Pastor Karen's presence, like I came with her on a trip while we were, while Lindsay was away, and Pastor Karen, you know, we were traveling together, and it was like I knew at any minute she was thinking about, where is Lindsay? She was praying for Lindsay. She was thinking, who's going to go tell Lindsay the truth? Who's going to tell, Lindsay's not listening to me. Who can reach Lindsay? She was texting me and the other girls in the leadership saying, please, please, can anybody reach out to Lindsay? Can anybody tell her she's being basically an idiot right now and she's got to come back? She's got to come back. It was so consuming to her. And we here on planet Earth, God has a fierce passion for the people of this city, the people that you are around. You are around people that Pastor Judith and Pastor Andrew will never be around. You're touching lives that they will never intersect with. It's up to you. One of my favorite things, you know, talking to people on the street sometimes or when they come to Ramp Churches is I don't consider myself a professional evangelist. But I am a child of God, and I love spreading anything that I love about. If it's a restaurant, if it's a shop, if it's anything that I really think is amazing, you will hear about it from me. And that's how I think of God. He likes to be talked about, and he is really good. And people need to hear about his goodness. And sometimes just praying for them. You think, well, how can I share? You just get in a conversation and say, you know what? Can I pray for you? Usually people open up. And if they don't, it's okay. You plant seed. But when you show up, the presence of God shows up. You just show up and things begin to move. Because the spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is inside of you. But you are making, you are called to make an impact. And this is one of the main, how could Paul endure so much? I mean, we're talking about endurance. It's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, we are here in England. Nobody's threatening to kill us. Nobody is hunting us down. No, I don't know if anybody here has been imprisoned for the gospel or if you've received 40 lashes or any of that. But all of that Paul and the people that he was telling to endure, that was their world. It cost them everything. Mothers losing children. Children losing mothers. Spouses being separated. Having to watch your loved one be martyred. That's the kind of world they were living in. And Paul is able to say to them, endure and keep the prize, keep things what matters. And it's even, I don't know, I feel even very almost awkward just saying, let's endure. What's at stake? This is what is at stake. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:10, I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. Whoa. I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. This is what Paul's life was about. This is what your life is about. Him? Glory, remember in the verse we read earlier, it says, as God's grace reaches more and more people, it's going to bring glory to Jesus. It's going to bring glory to Jesus. Him, and then what he's passionate about, them. You, he's passionate about you. But you will never walk in the fullness, the vibrancy, the life of your relationship with God unless you are walking on two legs, his presence on earth, relationship with him, and his purpose. And the problem is we limp along sometimes just focusing on my intimacy and my relationship without any outflow, without any reaching out. And we feel bored. We feel like, is this really it? You are fully, this is what God told Isaiah. In Isaiah 58, to the nation of Israel, he said, you're fasting, you're praying, you're gathering in my name, you want to please me. But then he said, this is the problem. I'm not happy with you because everything is still revolving around you. He's saying, listen, when you give yourself to the down and out, when you give yourself to the hungry and you bring in the homeless and you take care of relatives, he says, then you're really going to find your delight in me. You've got two legs that you're standing on here on planet Earth. It's access to the presence of God through Jesus Christ. A relationship. A genuine, real relationship. And the purpose and outworking of reaching the people he's passionate about. And when those two are every day in and out, then you find a new life in God. You find a new purpose in God. This is the temptation. God wants you to devalue and put as insignificant your part in this story. The enemy wants to squander and shut down your purpose. Because if he can get you saved but not fulfilling purpose, multitudes can still be unreached. But once you grab hold of your responsibility and the presence of God that will sustain you, the kingdom of God will continue to advance through your life. So the enemy wants you to sit in church and think that it's all up to the people on the platform. He wants you to think that you don't have time, that you couldn't figure out what God's plan was, even if you wanted to. And that it doesn't really matter if you show up or not, because after all, you're not that powerful. Those are the simple thoughts that we agree with that shut us down. But you were made for fruitfulness. And I just want to challenge you guys. How are you going to endure? You're going to have to own the presence of God as your sustenance. You're going to have to get close to God in relationship. This is for your benefit. This gathering is to help you. The Word of God is to help you. Prayer is to help you. Get close to God so that you really genuinely begin to care about what He cares about. And once you get close and his passions start rubbing off on you, then you'll start stepping out of conviction and faith. And then you'll see by faith God doing what only he can do through your obedience. But you often don't see it till the other side of eternity. You won't see the full fruit until you get to the other side of eternity. And that's why you need endurance. I really felt there were just a couple of things to make sure that you maybe write down, and you just really make sure that everything you believe is in line with this, okay? And that is, it matters. It matters what you do with your purpose, with your giftings. And sometimes God puts things on your heart, and immediately you think of 100 other people that are already doing that. And you think, you know what, I don't need to do that. They're doing that. But you, God has put you on planet Earth for a reason. And he doesn't do insignificant things. The reason why you're passionate, you're passionate maybe about math or business or whatever you're passionate about. God's given you those passions. He wants you in that world to reach those people. You are needed. There is no area of life or passion or intellect or skill that God doesn't want to flow through you. So you need to take the limit off of yourself. You've maybe limited yourself by thinking, well, I'm not a pastor or a prophet or an evangelist, or I'm a factory worker, or I'm a stay-at-home mom. Your purpose matters. There are gifts of God in you that he is going to call you to account for. There are people that are in your circle that only you can reach out and show them the love of Jesus. You matter, and you've got to own that. You've got to realize that. He doesn't give anybody a pass. He doesn't look at your life and say, oh, you had a really rough childhood. You know what? Here's a pass. Everything you've been given that you have, don't worry about it. Just do whatever you want. He knows the obstacles. He knows what home you grew up. He knows the challenges, the disabilities, the abilities. But I'm telling you, if you're breathing on planet Earth, you have a purpose. You have something to give. Your prayers, start with prayer. You don't know where to start for purpose. Start praying. for other people. Start praying for the people in your life. Give your resources. I love how the Bible simplifies. Jesus, it says, Jesus went about doing good and healing the sick. Just do good. When we so overcomplicate the will of God, we think there is no way I can know what God wants to be. I've been searching the will of God for 20 years and I still don't know. Just go about doing good. Filled with the Holy Spirit, and the kingdom of God is going to be released through you. But God's calling you out of this mindset of insignificance where you think it doesn't matter if I show up to church, there'll be other people there. Doesn't matter if I give in the offering, somebody else will. It doesn't matter if I develop this gift or if I even ever discover it. It'll all be covered. There's plenty of people on planet Earth. No. There are people connected to your life. People who need your prayers. People who need your support. The presence of God in you that needs to be released. The presence of God in you. And start where you're at. Start with what you have. Use what you have. You've got 5 minutes? Great. Use 5 minutes. You know one person? Great. Tell them you were praying for them. Just start where you're at. What do you have? And let's believe God that through your life, He's going to see great fruit for His glory. Fruitfulness for His glory. You were destined to bear fruit for His glory. And every time you show up, the presence of God shows up. So keep enduring in your purpose. No matter your age, I love telling little 10-year-olds, I'm like, are you alive? Great. You've got a purpose for being here, and it's already started. It starts when you start breathing. Let's stand to our feet.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.